Shoulder to lean on, and he's my shoulder to lean on when I am down. A rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed. A place where he hides me under his wing. He's not just a song. The reason I sing that I have been blessed. Oh, and I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Oh, precious are his thoughts of you.
And I have been blessed. Say, let God's voice arise in our camp. Amen. And let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here to have church tonight. Amen. I sure hope the young people have a wonderful time in Ohio, but I'm looking for a wonderful time in Louisiana tonight. Amen. Amen. We want to remember to pray for Sister Loretta. She asked that we continue to remember her in prayer tonight. Also, we have a prayer request from Brother Jason Taggart. He was injured at work, and ask that we remember him as well with the pain that he's in. I want to continue to remember to pray for Brother Hollis. He had eye surgery and it went well. He wants to thank you for your prayers and continue to remember his healing. Amen. If you have a need you want to lift up to the Lord and ask that he come by your way and meet that need, amen. I know he's, amen. He's here because he said he'd be here. Amen. And we believe that. Ask Brother Aaron to open the service. Amen. Before he comes, maybe we could just sing the chorus. Listen to my heart. Hear our spirit sing. A song of praise that flows from those you have. Just tell them. Tell you what an awesome God you are. When words are not enough to tell you, oh, listen. Oh, just make that personal to him. Sing it to him again now. Lord, won't you listen to my heart? We will use the word.
together. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we sang in the song, our desire tonight is that the glory of the Lord would rise among us, Lord. Lord, we can come together and see one another, and we enjoy that. We enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy friendships and bonds, Lord, of like precious faith. But, Lord, if you don't come and you don't speak, Lord, it's been a meaningless gathering of people. So, Lord, we're looking unto you tonight to just come and move us out of the way. Give us the strength to move tiredness out of the way and worries out of the way. And just for this short time, focus in on you and what it is you would have for us tonight, Lord. What you would want us to hear in this service, Father. Lord, so we just want to commit ourselves and our minds, Lord, right now to you, our thinking to you, and lock in for this next little bit and just begin to worship you, Lord. And I just pray that our worship will please you, Lord, that it will be something that comes from the heart tonight, Lord, and just rises up as we recognize, Lord, we've all been rescued by the Messiah. We've been called out of this age, Lord. Lord, and we're grateful for it, and we're thankful for it, and we've gathered on this Wednesday night with expectation in our heart, Lord. Lord, just knowing that you're going to speak, and Lord, directly to each and every heart. Lord, if each and every heart will just open it up to receive you, Lord. Lord, tonight may it fall on good ground as the word goes forth. Not stony ground, not hardened ground, not even distracted ground. But Lord, tonight may that seed fall and be quickened. May we be strengthened in our faith, just raised up, Lord, to the level of the promise tonight that we can receive, Lord, all that you have for us in this service, Father. Lord, we're looking for you to speak. Lord, you know those that are sick, those that are hurt, been injured, Lord, just battling different things. And we just pray right now, Lord, that even as we're in this service, that the healing angel of God will go by each place. Lord, you took stripes for our healing, Lord, and we believe that they haven't lost any of their power. But today you still heal and you still deliver and you still set free. So, Lord, I pray even now on the wings, Lord, of this prayer, Lord, that you'll just go to the sick and afflicted and bring deliverance. Lord, and in this service, Lord, there's many afflicted because, Lord, you said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you didn't stop there. You said that you would deliver us out of them all. So, Lord, we're expecting deliverance and healing, Lord, tonight in this service. Lord, we're expecting you to come and speak to hearts, speak to our lives. Lord, I have need of you. I know that that's the testimony of everyone in this building. We have need of you tonight, Lord, and we recognize that need. And we ask that you'll just anoint our brother Timothy. Allow him to speak words, Lord God, directed by you, straight to our hearts tonight, Lord. We just turn this time now and ask you to take preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
How do you explain? And how do you describe? Love that goes from peace and runs as deep as it is wide. Lord, you know all my hope, and you know all of me. Words cannot. Feel that way tonight. Lord, I just want to find some way to tell you how much I love you. Lord, so listen to my heart. Oh, hear our spirit sing a song of praise that grows. Oh, have redeemed, and we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome world. Brothers can take up the offering. Words are not enough to tell you what our Lord is. Words could fall, I pray. Oh, from these lips of mine. And if I had a thousand years, oh, I would still run out of time. mentioned it before, and it's been a while. Just had that story on my heart this evening that Sister Biscoll had mentioned years ago. Brother Branham being out in a boat with some believers, and they were going along and hit a bump in the boat, and they thought they'd hit a log under the water, and he said that wasn't a log, that was the angel. My prayer tonight is that each one of us will feel that bump in the boat. And whatever your need is, whatever your desire, that the mighty angel will come by, bump into your situation. Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. Because you came, I couldn't imagine if you were there. Jesus, I love you. Because you came, couldn't imagine if you were there. Say, I love you, and Jesus, I love you. Oh, because you came, and I couldn't imagine. Yeah.
Thankful he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. Most of all, he's a promise keeper. Amen. We're just thankful to our God tonight that he's here with us, even in us. touching our hearts and lives. Let's just go to him in prayer. Father, we just come to you today, Lord, asking that you would come and speak to us, Lord, once again, and minister to hearts, Lord. And just ask, Father, you just come and make yourself known to us in a real special way, Lord. If there be anything we've done or said not be pleasing to you, you bring forgiveness, Lord. And whatever it is, Father, we just want to be yours and be yielded to you, Lord, and to your people, Lord, today to feel your presence, but not just feel your presence, but let that presence, Lord, reign supreme in our hearts and lives, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 8 and verse 22. It said, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And they came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, and saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Amen. We'll let you be seated. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We have Sister Rosie Bennett that is with us this evening, and she's kin, of course, to the Pattons and to the Mitchells. And she's been going through quite a trial in her life. And I'm just going to kind of read you a series of texts that I've received in just the last week. It says, first of all, we're done here at Emory and headed home. They did tell us Rosanna's in heart failure, but no meds are needed right now. Doctor says exercise is key, and she needs to do it even when she isn't feeling like it. The damage is done, and unless God touches her, there's no one doing it. But he said she could live a long time like this. And I think the diagnosis was maybe 4 years up to 40 years. They didn't really know, but she was just living with a lot of heart damage from the chemo and things that she had taken, I believe, from the cancer she had in her leg. And this is just, that was just about a week or so ago. And then this week, it says, hello, everyone. We're finished up and headed our separate ways. Rosanna's coming back to Minden, and he said, we got a good, really good report. All Rosanna's numbers have recovered. Last year they were not so great, but this year we're perfect. Chest x-rays were good. Leg x-rays showed some brittleness, but nothing to be concerned about at this time. They actually called us back in for an unscheduled echo, as they're thinking her heart's a little better maybe than it was. Praise the Lord for that. We won't hear the results from it for a few days. We don't have to return for a year. And then today, this is from Sarah Beth, said, Rosie just told me she went to the doctor. They told her that she has no record of heart failure. The heart failure is completely gone, and she doesn't have it. Thank the Lord. It's a miracle. So they can't even find the records where they ever told her she had it. God completely got rid of it. Well, that's the kind of God we serve. Amen. I love the God that can just destroy the records. Amen. We know the records he destroyed in our lives, and so we're thankful for that. Amen. I just want to speak to you this evening on faith to sail on. You know, as we read in our scripture, Jesus said to them, let us go over to the other side. And I think that's quite a statement, because as we read later, you know, they got in a pretty good jam, as it were. They got to in the sea as it began to storm, and winds begins to rise and waves begin to. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but it's kind of a scary situation. I've been in some big waves. Actually, I was with Brother James Lay one time over in Washington, me and my wife, And waves, I've never seen waves quite that big where you would just disappear and couldn't see land. You'd bob back up, see land for a little bit. It's a little bit of a scary situation to be in. You know, I remember when that first, actually Sister Ruth had got on another boat with a bigger boat, and me and Brother James was going across this by ourselves, and it's getting worse. The winds were getting worse, and we was trying to make it across, and I'm holding on to that boat, you know, and I'm all brave, don't have a life jacket on, ain't even thought about a life jacket for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, that first wave crashed over the bow of that boat, and I went, "Wow, this is awesome." Second wave crashed over that boat, and I said, "Where is my life jacket?" But, it can get very, very scary because it's something that we can't control as humans is the water. Water is a very powerful force, you know. And it's very easy, you know, to trust God, you know, when you're in a safe place in your life. You know, when things are going along in your way and you're in the boat and things are just and vice versa is hardly a more calming place to be in a boat on a lake somewhere or out in the sea or whatever, and just a little wind pushing you along or gentle breeze. You know, it's real easy to trust God during those moments. But, as we know, life isn't always a gentle breeze. Life isn't always calm waters. All of a sudden, storms can gather and waves can grow and can start crashing against the boat and winds can become very fierce. But at those times, you have to realize that you have to trust not in your own abilities, but you have to trust in the one that's with you. And as long as he's in the boat, that's all that matters, amen. And because he wasn't concerned. He knew that the winds and the waves were going to come up. He knew all the things that were going to take place. He just said, "Let's go over to the other side." And I think that's kind of how he does it. With us, he calls us out of sin or calls us out of whatever, and he calls us into this Christian life. And he tells us that we got a home prepared, and he went to prepare a place. And you know, and he don't always tell us about all the things that are going to go on inside all of this span of time from here to here, but as long as he's in the boat, that's all that matters. Amen. When he's in the boat, then the storms can cease and just as quick as they picked up. Amen. Amen. Or even quicker. When he is in the boat, he is in control of every situation. Amen. But the point is that we have to trust in the one who is carrying us or who is with us. Amen. We are to sail in spite of the winds and in spite of the waves. Amen. And you know, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 is actually, I found today, is actually referring to sailing in a way. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." This draw back is actually the word for letting down the sails. That when the winds get tough or the things get going the wrong way or things get a little out of cater, out of our control, that we just pull the sails down and we just lose our faith and we just drift along. No, it's the time to keep sailing on. Because God is in control of this ship. God is in control of this vessel. He that called you, he that started the work, he is going to finish the work. Amen. You know, I actually got on that a little bit last Wednesday on the sailboat, and I wasn't quite ready, really prepared for it, just on the kind of the last there on Wednesday. But I got to looking at it again this week, and I actually misunderstood what the captain had said. I thought he said kneeling, but he actually said healing when the boat is bending to the wind. Amen. But whether it's healing or whether it's kneeling, amen, I believe it's very applicable to our lives. That God, no matter what situation that we're in, maybe we're going into the wind. You know, if you we could go into a lot of scriptures about the Holy Spirit, amen, being the wind that blows us, and we know Satan has a breath, but you know, sometimes you know you wonder if you're in the right wind. Well, let me tell you, if it's taking you the wrong direction, it's the wrong wind. Amen. But if it's going to the right place in the right direction, amen, or even if you have to push against that wind, amen, whatever, you have been given the ability that if Satan is blowing against you, you've been given the ability to tune the vessel just right, and you're going to go through that situation in your life. And then so he said this drawback is to haul down, to lower the sails, amen, to furl them up, to roll them back up, to draw yourself back and out of sight. Come on, somebody. That's exactly what Satan likes to do. When you get in a battle, he likes you to go to yourself and pull to yourself. And you become your own little thing and your own little situation and your own little thoughts and your own. And it's all you and nobody else. Listen, that ain't the time to draw back. That's the time to go forward. That ain't the time to pull away from fellowship. That's the time to get in more fellowship. That ain't the time to sit out of service. That's the time to get into more services. Amen. When Satan is coming against you with a hot breath of air, amen, it's a time that you just trim those sails a little bit and build that faith up a little higher and let that boat, it might lean over and it might feel like it's about to fall over, but God will take you through the winds and the waves of your life. Amen. But if you put the sails down and you just let go of the rudder and you just let go of it all, that boat will begin to just flip around. I actually saw a man that just, you know, has kind of been watching a little bit, a man who just left his job on the West Coast and bought him a sailboat, rebuilt it, never sailed in his life and learned how to sail, and now he's sailing across the ocean. But he got in a position the other day when his rudder broke and you could tell that fear jumped in his eyes because now he couldn't steer that thing and get it directly into the wind or into the waves or however. Amen. He was at where he could actually capsize very easy. And he said, it was one of the scariest days of my life. I said, I can imagine. You're out there in the middle of this ocean. There ain't nobody around you. There ain't nobody can help you within 100, 200, maybe 500 miles. It's a hard spot to be. And sometimes you feel that way in your life. Sometimes you feel like the rudder's broken, the sails are torn. But if you'll just stay in the ship and you'll just say, God, I may not know how to handle this situation, but I'm going to sail on. I'm going to push forward. I'm going to get in more services. I'm going to get in more tapes. I'm going to read my Bible more. What are you doing? You're trimming the sails. You're raising them up. You're altering them just exactly to the point to where you can go through the wind. You know, we see sometimes, Brother Branham said it like this. He said, well, you know, we talk about how bad the world is getting or how wicked the world is getting. It's true. It's very wicked. He said, but look how great the church is getting all the time. He said, sometimes we fail to look at that side. Jesus said, let them grow together. He said that when the world gets more wicked and wickeder, the church is going to get more powerful and powerful all the time. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God is going to raise a standard against it. Sit still, glory. The winds may be blowing. Just set your sails. Just set your sails and move right on into the face of the storm. What do we care? Who's the captain? He'll take care of it. Now, don't fear. I'm always there, the captain says. So it doesn't matter what is going on. You know, the devil loves to make us think there's more of him, you know, and the world's more wicked than God is greater. No, God is greater than the world's ever going to be wicked. He's got a plan for this age that we're living in. We can see how wicked the world was in little Moses' day. And, you know, little Moses was put in a ship, as it were, on a starlit night on the Nile, and the winds were blowing and the howling was taking place. And this little baby laying in this little boat made by his mama on the Nile River and crocodiles around him. But Brother Randall said, hallelujah, he was safe and protected. Safe and protected, because standing between him and those crocodiles, or between him and the Nile, was the atonement. Between him and all the gales and all the heavy winds and all that the devil could send against him, amen, was the atonement. Nothing was going to turn that ark over. Hallelujah. Nothing was going to turn that ark over. She was going to float right on through it. He said, I can see the Holy Spirit standing there, angels guarding up and down the bank, swords drawn. No, nothing was going to touch that one. He said, I can see the devil trying to sink the ark there. And amen. In Noah's day, and Noah's singing as he went through those storms of 40 days and nights. Oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross, or whatever song. All the devils in hell couldn't sink that ark, because it had been built according to God's instruction. There was an atonement made that stood between him and the judgment.
And that's every believer tonight, no matter how hard the jolts get or how hard the bounces are or how hard life may seem, as long as you are in Christ Jesus, there's nothing present, nothing future, no death, no sickness, no sorrow can separate you from the love of God. The devil will turn every gale loose on you, all hell loose on you, but God has an atonement standing between you and the judgment. You will float every wave. You will go through every alligator bed. Hallelujah. The ship we're sailing is the ship of Zion. It's Christ. It's the foundation. It's the Word. Amen. And Brother Brown would put it like this. He said, the stabilizers have been put on the ship. He said, sure, great fearful waves are out here before us. We know just beyond that fearful wave, we are nearing the shore. We're getting close. He said, just stay stable. Just stay in the Word. Just stay with God. No matter how you feel, whatever else, stay right with the Word. Let it stabilize you. He said, when you see all those great big clouds around us, storms are coming, atomic bombs hanging everywhere, everything else they're talking about, but our stabilizer is the Word. God said it would be here. We'll crest every one of them. Every wave that Satan throws against this ship, she's going to rise above it. She's going to float over it. God said it would be here, but we're going to crest every one of them. We're going right over the top of them. They cannot sink us. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, cancer cannot sink us. Satan, with every kind of ism or every kind of doubt, every kind of fear, every kind of depression, it cannot sink us. This bride is not going down. She is going up. We'll go right over the top of it. They can't sink us. They can't drown us. You put us in a grave, we're coming out again. That's right. There ain't no way the world is going to keep it down. We'll crest every one of them because our chief captain is calling at the other side. Amen. But you know, he said, it's always a mystery to me how that by a sail, you can actually control the wind. You can go right smack into the face of the wind. It is a paradox. Take you forward right in the face of it, right? Even against currents, the current of the ocean, you can go right against it and right against the wind and move forward. He said, that's the way faith is. He said, right in the face of it. It's just the way you set your sails. As I said last Wednesday, actually a sailboat is nothing but an airplane on its side is how they describe it. And it uses both what's down underneath the ocean and what's above in the sails and the way the water's moving around the bottom and the air's moving around the top and the aerodynamics of it causes it to propel that boat forward. But it's the way you set your sails. That is the way faith is. If you just know how to pull your sails of faith around, just pull your sails of faith around you and start adjusting them a little bit. I say, God, adjust our sails a little bit tonight. Amen. I believe we're going to have them adjusted a bit for a body change, right? We're going to have them adjusted a bit for healing in our body, situations in our lives, things that we can't handle. We can't do nothing on our own about. Amen. We can't do nothing about the current. We can't do nothing about the wave. We can't do nothing about the wind. But we can do something about the way our boat is headed. Come on, somebody. Amen. We can't do nothing about the current of this world. This world's going to hell. Right? It's going straight to a burning. It's going to hell. That is the current of this world. But there's somebody that's turned around and going against the current. Amen. We're not going with their ideas. We're not going with their dress. We're not going with their thoughts. We're not going with how they think or what they think or how they think our life ought to be. We're going with what the Word said. So it's directly against the current. It's directly against the wind of this world. But this boat, if you adjust your sails of faith, it'll catch the wind of the Holy Ghost and it'll push you right through everything. It'll do something for you if you adjust your sails of faith. Right in the face of difficulty, it'll drive you right on through it. The reason people get wrecked or shipwrecked is a couple things. They either take their sails down and they're at the mercies of the winds and the waves, or they turn it the wrong direction, allow it to get sideways against some waves. Listen, a ship is built to go straight through, just right, not sideways, but just right through the wave. That's why we got to be careful that, as we talked about Wednesday, we don't become twisted rope and twist it all up. And you know, I actually admired the guy that was on our little sailboat the other day. The first mate, they called him. You know, the captain was steering back there, and he was telling him what to do. But I admired what he did, because I had to help him. A couple of us guys on the boat had to help him pull up some of those sails. And he would come behind us, and he would make sure that rope, and he would just adjust it. Every rope was done just perfectly, because you didn't want your ropes tied up in a real situation. You didn't want them tangled up, because you wanted them things accessible. You wanted to be able to move them or do whatever you needed to do very quickly. You didn't want them tangled up with another rope or tangled up around the mast or tangled up around a seat somewhere. He would just roll them out just perfectly. And I watched how he done it. I thought, God, ain't that the way we ought to be in our lives, to make sure things are not tangled up? Make sure that things are not all messed up on the deck, and we got everything tore up and messed up in our lives. And no wonder sometimes we get in a situation and we start crying out and wondering if we're going to make it through, because we can't even adjust ourselves because stuff is so tangled in our lives. Of course, you know, the Word is our compass. One thing that we'll know, the Word is a compass. It'll point to a North Star. That's your compass. That's what you're sailing with. The compass that I'm trying to train you to sail with is the Word. The Word always points to Him. Amen. Always. He said, we feel like we're going through a great time of distress and trials and perplexities of time and distress between nations and all kinds of things happening. He said, sometimes I feel like I'm getting engulfed like. He said, everywhere I look, it's like a ship out on the sea. And I've been given charge of the boat. And how are we going to make it? Here comes a big white cap, 100 times bigger than my ship. But we will crest every one of them. We are more than victors through Christ. The captain, the chief captain, has got a hold of the string at the end of the ship, and he's going to pull us through every time. Hallelujah. Oh, that gives me great confidence to know. You know, I always get amused by people that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. No, 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 no. He ain't my co-pilot. He's my pilot. Amen. I don't need a co-pilot. I need a pilot. And I sure don't want to be the pilot of my life. I'll get myself in a wreck, in a jam really quick if I go along the way Timothy thinks it ought to be, or how Timothy ought to do this. No, I want what the Word thinks it ought to be. Amen. Brother Random talks about a poem a couple of times he read in school, in a school book. He says, many of you my age may remember it. I don't know if there's anybody here his age or would be his age. What would he be now? 120? Somewhere around there? Yeah, there ain't nobody here that age. But I don't know if you've ever heard the boy. He's talking about Christopher Columbus was given ships. Because in his heart, he saw a vision that the world was round. And he didn't have it, because in that day they thought it was flat. And somehow we got back to that. I don't understand that. Go back 400 years. Well, why don't you go back to horse and buggy and everything else? Why don't you go back to science 400 years ago and live like that? Why don't you go to a doctor 400 years ago? Hello. I don't understand anybody like that. Sorry. Not sorry. But anyway, he didn't believe the world was flat. He believed it was round. And so he gets these ships and giving a bunch of prisoners and cowards. That was his church members. A bunch of pullbacks, a bunch that was discouraged and tried to discourage him. Just a little longer and we're going to drop off the world. Just a little longer and the serpent is going to rise up from the bottom of the sea and going to wrap his big arms around us and pull us down to the bottom. He said, but I say, brave rover, what do you say? He said, sail on. Sail on. You know, I went back and looked up that. If you give me just a few minutes, I went back and looked up that poem. It's kind of interesting. It says, behind him lay the gray Azores, which is the outward islands off the shore of Portugal. Behind the gates of Hercules. Before him, not even the ghost of shores. Before him, only shoreless seas. The good mate said, now we must pray, for lo, the very stars are gone. Brave admiral speak, what shall I say? Well, I say, sail on and on. My men grow mutinous day by day. My men grow ghastly, wan and weak. The stout mate thought of home. A spray of salt waves washed his swarthy cheek. What shall I say, brave admiral, say? If we sight naught but seas at dawn, why you shall say at the break of day, sail on and on. They sailed and sailed as winds might blow, until at last the blanched mates said, why now not even God would know, should I and all my men fall dead. The very winds forgot their way, for God from these dead seas is gone. Now speak, brave admiral, speak and say. He said, sail on and on. They sailed, then spake the mate. This mad sea shows his teeth tonight. He curls his lips, he lies in wait with lifted teeth as if to bite. Brave admiral, say but one good word. What shall we do when hope is gone? The words leapt like a leaping sword. Sail on and on and on. Then pale and worn, he kept his deck and peered through the darkness all that night. Of all dark nights, and then a speck. A light, at last a light. It grew a starlit flag unfurled. It grew to be time's burst of dawn. He gained a world, and he gave that world its grandest blessing. Sail on! Sail on! There was a lot of opportunities there to give up. There was a lot of opportunities to just turn around and say, you know what, maybe that was not a good idea. I just don't think, he had a lot to lose on this situation. But there was something on the inside of him that realized, no, there's another path. I believe that this earth is not how they say it is. I believe it's you can go on around. He actually thought he would go on around and sail right back. You know, he didn't know that new world was there. He didn't know none of that. But he believed he would just go right back and come right back around. And so he just kept going and going. What was it? It was something on the inside of him that beyond all the waves, beyond all the darkness, beyond the days. Listen, now they can make it across. I believe that the captain told me about 29 days, they can sail from the East Coast over to England. It used to take almost about 3 to 6 months, depending on winds and things. That was a long time not to see land. It was a long time out there, and all you seen was water and know all the imaginations that could take place, because they didn't know what was down in that ocean. They didn't know how big the beasts were that were down there. They didn't know. They didn't know all the same. Well, they're still finding them today. But there was something on him that said, I don't care what they say, sail on. And Brother Branham makes this statement. He says, give us men in the church just like that. Amen. That no matter what the scientific world says, and no matter what the church world says, I'll take God's word and I'm going to sail on. I'm going to sail until I pass every barrier. I'm going to sail till I pass every barrier of sin. And I sail past every barrier of sickness. And I sail past the veil of this old body. And I step into a new dimension. I'm telling you, there's a new world out there. Oh, there might be a lot of monsters in our way, but God is with us. So we used to, in the old church here, he said, used to sing a little song. He said, I crossed the separating line. I've left the world behind. He said, if there was ever a time that the church needs to step across that line, which separates you between faith and unbelief by sight. Come on now. Hear what the prophet said. Step across the line that separates you between faith and unbelief by sight, and look at the unseen by faith. It's now. It is now. Amen. He preached that almost 60, 70 years ago. Well, if it was now then, it's now, now. We need it more than ever to quit looking at what we can see and look at the world and all the things around us and say, look, I'm not a part of this old world. I'm a part of another world. I'm going to sail to that other side.
He said, when you can do that, that's when you leave everything behind you. Every care, every worry, everything that says you can't be a Christian. Well, I smoke too long. I drank too long. You can put whatever sin you want to right there, whatever form of unbelief you want to put. I've done this too long. I've lived in adultery too long. I don't care what you say and what you've done. Though your sins be as scarlet. Hello? Though your sins be as scarlet, you can be made white as snow. Once you pass the line of the barrier of that devil that's trying to torment you and say, you can't do it. You can't do it. You won't make it. There ain't no new land out there. It's just a fairy tale in a sandcastle. There ain't a new body. There ain't a new hope. There ain't no hope for you. And you sail past all of that. And you say, I can do it. Why can't I do it? Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and drink. I can be free of this sin. I can be free of this demonic oppression. I can be free of this thing. I can. Why? Because he said I could. He said, when you people that are sick and you plow through prayer line after prayer line and you've been prayed for and you've been to doctors and you've done everything and still death stays at your door, you'll get to the place that you say, I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the scientific world says. Jesus Christ made a promise and you pass that barrier of vibrations to your soul that you're free. There's not one thing that'll shake you no more. You'll sail to your healing just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit. Hallelujah. You'll never turn to look that way no more. You'll be looking this way. You're free from them things that say divine healing's over or days of miracles are past or there's no such a thing as that anymore. You can't get well. Your case is too bad. Sail up above it. There's a word you can sail up to. What is that word? I'm the Lord God that heals all thy diseases. Climb the walls yonder until you're free. Every rope, every fetter's been cut loose. Every vibration lifts. And you're free and free indeed. As I said, sailboat is like wings on an airplane or like wings on a bird. Brother Branham was up in Colorado where he used to run some cattle. And he was in the timberline there and a storm had came. Big storm, blowdowns. Blew a lot of stuff down, he said. And after the storm passed, it rained a while. Then it snowed a while, and then the sun come out. Storms coming like that in the fall of the year. He said, so I was standing behind this storm as it went past, and after the storm went past, the sun peeped out, looking down through those crevices, and turned cold, and the water froze the evergreen. There was a rainbow that came over the valley. I thought, my, there's God in that rainbow, for he made a promise. He said, sometimes you just get along by yourself sometime and think it over about his promises and things and see how close God can get to you. After a while, he heard an elk bugling. Got lost from the herd maybe during the storm, was bugling. Old gray wolf howled up on the mountain, his mate answered. He said, it was like David said, when a deep calleth in a deep, there's a deep to respond. He said, my mother's half Indian, and he said, my conversion never took that out of me. It's something that's real when you get out in nature and standing there, I put my hands up in the air and I said, oh, great creator, who made heavens and earth? How great thou art to let me even be here. Why can't I always stay here? Just let me live here. This is the end I was born for. Felt almost, I guess, like the apostles did on the Mount Transfiguration. It must have been a wonderful time. Let's build three tabernacles, you know, but at the bottom of that mountain, of course, is the sick and needy. While I was thinking on that, I noticed this little old pine squirrel jumped up on this little blowdown limb and made the awfulest noise you ever, chatter, 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 chatter.
thought, well, my God, why would you take my attention off of all that and notice this little old squirrel making all this racket? And while he's bouncing up and down like he's going to kill everything in the woods, just all noise, though, you know. Nothing to him. And after he's bouncing around, I've been saying, praise the Lord, my hands up. And I guess if they had had somebody in the woods, they thought a maniac was there. But I didn't care. I was worshiping God. Amen. Well, I mean, in the woods or church, what does it matter? Amen. Who made the heavens? I was worshiping the God that made the heavens and the earth. But I was just watching this little squirrel. And I thought, why did he attract my attention to this? What would be godly about that fella? What's the matter in a storm? But he said, I noticed over there what he was looking at. And he said, there was a storm that blowed down this big old eagle. Down in the rubbish of the blowdown. This big eagle had jumped up on a limb. I thought, God, you know, how would you, what's in this eagle for me now? And the squirrel went, I thought, man, well, that's godly because, you know, he's not scared. And God don't want anybody to be scared. I'm talking about the eagle. He's not scared of this pine squirrel making all this racket. You know, and this eagle was not afraid. And I thought, well, why are you not afraid? What? And I began to notice he was taking his feathers and he was kind of moving his wings a little bit. And he's just kind of moving his wings back and forth. I thought, that's it. God, if you give that eagle confidence enough in his wings to know that he could get away from me in just a blink like that, he said, how much more ought the church or a person? As long as we know the Holy Spirit is around us, how much more can the Spirit of God deliver us than the eagle can be delivered by his natural wings? If an eagle has that much faith in his natural wings, how much faith should we have in the wind that lifts us up? He said, I noticed him. He didn't seem like I was interrupting him so much. And I thought, don't you know, eagle, I could shoot you? That big old gray eye just looked at me. Could you imagine this conversation? Don't you know I could shoot you? He knew I wasn't going to shoot him. And if I reached for my guns, he'd flop them wings and look. And he'd look up, and he'd look up like that. And he would look at me, and he'd look up. And I thought, oh, God, truly, you're everywhere. You're in the bird. You're in the rainbow. You're in the wolf. You're in the elk. You're everywhere. But I noticed after a while, he got enough of that chatter, chatter, chatter. He just made a big jump and flopped those wings about twice. And I seen something happen that would be a lesson for us all. He never tried to flop back and forth, flop, flop, flop. He just knew how to set his wings. And every time the wind would come up that mountain, it would just take him higher and higher and higher until he was nothing but a little spot. And I stood there and I began to weep, for I thought, that's it, God. It isn't join this or do this or leave this or run over here or go to this Pentecostal church. It's knowing how to set your faith in the ways of the Holy Spirit. It's knowing how to set your faith in the ways of the Holy Spirit and ride away from this chatter, chatter here and there. This chatter that says days of miracles are past. This chatter that says there's no such a thing as the Holy Ghost. This chatter that says there's no such a thing as divine healing. This chatter that says you won't make it. This chatter that says this message ain't for you and you're just born to be a child of the devil. This is a lot of chatter going on. This chatter that says your family's going to be destroyed. This chatter that says your marriage is going to be destroyed. This chatter that says your children are going to go out into the world and never come back. That's a lot of chatter. But let me tell you, if you'll learn how to set those wings. Hallelujah. That's why you got to come to services. That's why you got to get in the tapes. That's why you got to read your Bible. Is get into the air of the Holy Spirit and lift those hands up and say, God, I'm here for one thing. I'm here to leave all this chatter. I'm here to leave all this hell-bound earth. I'm here to leave all the thinking of this world and rise above it all. Get away from all this old earthbound chatter. Well, you can't have that no more. That ain't the way God operates no more, will you? Chatter, chatter, chatter. Well, that's just rock and roll music, bunch of chatter. Chatter. A lot of chattering going on. A lot of pine squirrels in the message. Oh, mercy. Well, you know, God used to work like that. God used to do this. You know, I thought about it so many times, how many times that we've prayed for people who says their church, you know, Baptist people, that thank God I can still say that. Baptist, not message, but I probably could say that too. But Baptist people said their church don't pray for the sick no more. You know, I always think about the man that would come to one of the deacons at the camp there in Scottsville and said, we used to have services like this. Too many pine squirrels got in. Shut down the music, the moving of the Holy Spirit. Shut down the winds of where eagles could move up into the heavenlies again. That's why we can't ever stand for anything that'll shut down the moving of the Holy Ghost. We got to have the moving of the Holy Ghost to leave this place. We got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost moving in our services for us to even take a body change. We got to have Him moving in our lives. We got to have Him moving in our situation. We can't ever stand for any formal or cold, amen, denominational idea. Amen. Whether it be a message denominational idea or whatever, we cannot stand for it. We have to be willing to take our stand upon the Word of God and say, no, I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God wants to move, I say move. Because I need to leave some chatter behind. I don't know about you, but the devil been chattering in my ear a lot here lately. He's been telling me all kinds of things in my life. But I'm here to tell you, I got two wings. I got the Old and the New Testament. Amen. That God has given me the Word of God that I can depend upon in my time, in my situation. And all I got to do is open up those wings and let the winds of the Holy Ghost begin to blow. And it's going to lift me up above my depression, above my thinking, above my thoughts, above my ideas, above what I want to do or don't want to do. It'll lift me up in the heavenly of heavens. Get away from that old earthbound chatter. That chatter is trying to keep you earthbound. Chatter, chatter here, and chatter, chatter there. Just set your wings in the power of the Holy Spirit and let Him carry you above this old chatter noise of there ain't no such a thing. The eagle knew what he was doing and what he could trust. Just set your wings and say, Jesus Christ, I love you. Amen. Can we do that tonight? Set those wings in that. Yes. I love you. I trust you. And hold these blessed old two-winged book here and just fly away, for He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just setting your wings, your faith wings, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Good luck. Listen, if that eagle would never set his wings, the wind could have blowed all he wanted to blow. Right? It could have blowed all it wanted to blow. He still sat on that old log. That's what happens sometimes. We got a lot of eagles sometimes. That the wind of the Holy Spirit will blow through here and they just kind of keep their old wings down. No, we want those wings lifted up. Let the Lord lift us up above these shadows. Lift us up above this world. Lift us up above the days of miracles are past. Lift us up above the thought of just a bunch of holy rollers. Who cares? Well, you're just Pentecostal. Well, good. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, some people want to call us Pentecostal because of our music and our worship. And then meanwhile, they're dead as a doornail and can't hardly clap their hands, won't hardly lift their hands, won't hardly sing, shout, do nothing. Well, I can tell you this. If nothing else, I'm a couple of church ages ahead of you. But we heard Sunday, that ain't the church age we're emulating. That ain't the age we are. We're going back to the first age. Seed to seed. Right? Amen. But listen, they will get beyond all these things. Get beyond the thoughts of how somebody else thinks service ought to be, or how somebody thinks your worship ought to be, or how somebody thinks worship ought to be in general. Get past it all. It's me and you, Jesus. I love you. You've done something for me. Now, let me tell you, Brother Branham wasn't just that kind of way just out in the woods. No. He said if somebody found him out there and thought he was a maniac. Well, listen, he found himself out in the middle of his aisle with his pant legs pulled up one time, come to himself. Found himself sitting on top of a pulpit one time with his hands up in the air. Yeah, that's a service right there, ain't it? We ain't got that wild yet. I've been here a lot of times. I ain't seen a preacher yet sit on top of this pulpit. I ain't seen one yet out in the middle of his aisle with his pants pulled up. Just saying. People want to judge us and judge our worship and judge our music and judge this. Why don't you just try it for yourself and see how you feel? Maybe you'll realize it'll kind of lift you up a little bit and get out of your wowsy woos and your self-righteous, stiff-necked attitude and rise up above those things. Just set your wings in the power of God. Let the Holy Ghost rise you above it. Let Him rise you above it. That's one thing about a rudder. You know, a rudder, yes, we believe the rudder is Christ as He directs us. That's one thing. But there's also a part of that you play with your hand on it. The captain's got his hand on the rudder, right? Or the steering wheel, which controls the rudder. There's a part of flesh there, too, that you got to watch. Because if you see yourself getting off course, it ain't because Jesus turned the rudder. That was just for free. That was extra. But let the Holy Ghost, let Him rise you above it. We come to church sometimes all soured up and tore up, and then we leave just worse and soured up and more tore up. We didn't let the Holy Ghost let us rise as above it. Well, I don't want to be fake. What's that got to do with being fake? I want to be real. I want to be a real Christian. I want to be somebody that really loves the Lord. And then somebody that really loves the Lord will worship Him no matter if they're down in the valley or they're up on the top of a mountain. It won't matter if they're in the winds or the waves or the howling storms. It doesn't matter. They will worship God anyhow. Amen. Brother Branham tells a story about a boat that was going down, a ship out in the middle of the ocean, made a call in for Mayday, Mayday, and they was having some jazz music playing, and the captain said, change the music, change it up, play Near My God to Thee. Everybody, you pray like you're in church and you're needing something from God. Start praying. We're not going to make it. But there was this one woman on that boat. She was walking up and down saying, praise God. Hallelujah! Praise God! The captain said, what is wrong with you? We need people praying, not praising. She said, well, listen here, Captain. She said, I ain't worried about this ship going down. She said, I gave my soul to God a long time ago. Said, I got a daughter in New York. If I get there, I'll see her. If I go down to the bottom of this ocean, I got a daughter waiting for me there. Either way, I'm going to win, and I'm going to praise Him while I'm in the storm. Hallelujah! How about you tonight? No matter what. No matter what goes on. I'm going to win. I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to win this war. I'm going to rise above it all. Church will not be defeated. He didn't have to flop from place to place. Well, I'll go over and see this. I'll go do that. He just knew how to set His wings. That's all you have to do about divine healing, about the Holy Ghost, is how you set your faith in the power and promises of God. It will pack you right up. And you'll just go right on up. Every time it blows in, you'll rise higher and higher and higher till you're able to hear, you're not able no more to hear chatter, chatter, chatter. You'll not even pay attention to it no more because you'll be out of hearing distance. Hallelujah. I'm ready to be out of hearing distance of that old devil. What a day that's going to be. We break through that last veil. Out of hearing distance. No more to hear from Him. No more doubts. No more fears. No more unbeliefs. No more sorrows. No more sin. No more mind battles. No more nothing that the devil's got to offer. But peace and love. Joy. That's not a sandcastle. That's not a fairy tale. That's thus saith the Lord. That's something there you can set your wings into. God bless you. Let's stand together.
How many can say tonight, Lord, help me to set my wings in the winds of faith? Let's sing that, Brother Andrew, Winds of Faith. Hallelujah. I want to rise up a little higher tonight. I want to rise up and all things are possible. Lord, I want to cross that separating line between my doubts, what I see by my eyesight and my thoughts, and what I can see by the eyes of faith, the unseen. Let me see what you see, Jesus. You know what Jesus saw in that situation? He said, let us go to the other side. He said, because over on the other side, there was a soul waiting on him. That's what he saw. He didn't care about the winds or the waves. He worried about, he was wanting that soul that was on the other side. Sometimes you don't know the winds and the waves are just carrying you to the spot that Jesus is wanting you to be. Things are moving, winds are moving. And just let this adjust your faith a little bit to believe, you know, God's in this situation somehow. I don't know how, but he's in it. He promised he would. He promised he'd never leave me. He's with me. He'd never forsake me. I just want to adjust my faith a little bit to catch a little bit more wind and get out of here. Hallelujah. Let's sing this together. There are two roads you may take, one by sight, one by faith. We'll take the word of God. What you believe, oh, that's what will be. Oh, set your wings to the winds of faith. Oh, you can fly, oh, in a higher place. Do not struggle. It's by grace. Set your way.
Much too high. Speak the word of God. I will not forget you, Lord. Deserve to pray. Worthy is.